Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And I'll preach a short message this morning. Let you all get home to your warm houses. But I want to read Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12, and then we'll pray. Luke chapter 6, verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless the message this morning. God, I pray that you do something special, Lord, in our hearts this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we look at the life of Jesus Christ, help us to realize, Lord, Lord, what a great man that he was, that he was not just a man. He was God in the flesh. And Lord, thank you so much for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins and, Lord, making a way for us to have our sins forgiven. And Lord, have eternal life. And Lord, we owe everything to you. And Lord, we are so undeserving and so unworthy of your mercy and your love and your grace. And I just pray that you'd make that more real to us, Lord, each and every day. Help us to draw closer to you this morning. Challenge us, Lord, and not just, Lord, help us not to be just challenged, but help us to be changed, Lord, this morning. And make some commitments in our hearts to want to know you more personally. In your name I pray and ask these things. Amen. A lot has been said about the life of Christ. Much has been said about the life of purity that he lived, and much has been said about the life of power that he lived. His life was full of power, but what we don't focus on nearly enough is the prayer life of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. Jesus Christ was a great man of prayer. The Savior of the world had a tremendous prayer life. Over and over in the Gospels, we read how Jesus would get along with the Father and how he would spend much time in prayer and communion with him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray." The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 31, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place to pray." The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." John chapter 17 records the prayer of Jesus Christ, how he prayed for his disciples and he prayed for his church. I don't believe Jesus lived a pure and holy life by accident. I believe the life of purity that he lived and the life of power that he lived was a direct result of his prayer life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In Matthew chapter 4, while Jesus was fasting in the wilderness, Satan came and tempted him. Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days. And the devil said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." But the devil didn't quit. The devil tempted Jesus again. He tempted Jesus to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, off the roof of the temple. And Satan said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus again answered the devil and said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Once again, Satan tempted Christ, took him up into a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the Bible says. The devil told Jesus, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And Jesus said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Jesus was able to resist Satan's temptations because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he had been fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights. Physically, Christ was weak from hunger, but spiritually, he was strong enough to overcome evil because of his prayer life. In Matthew chapter 26, while Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, he told his disciples, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus understood how important it was for a person to have a strong, consistent prayer life. And he taught his disciples to be men of prayer. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And while when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jesus told his disciples again in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, that ye shall believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Now Jesus was aware of the struggles and the temptations that each of his disciples would face, and he encouraged each of them to spend time alone with God in prayer. Jesus knew that it was impossible for his followers, for his disciples, to live pure and holy lives full of power without spending time alone with God in prayer. The disciples realized from observing the life of Christ that holiness and power were linked together with prayer. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We see in Christ's ministry that every time Christ got alone to pray and commune with the Father, when he was done praying, something great, something mighty happened as a result. Here in Luke chapter 6, after Jesus had spent the whole night in prayer to God, the Bible says in verse 13, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. In verse 17 of the same chapter, a great multitude of people came to hear Jesus preach, and the Bible says they came to be healed of their diseases. People who were vexed with devils were healed, and the Bible says the whole multitude sought him to touch him, for there went out virtue out of him and healed them all. In Luke chapter 5, after Jesus had been in the wilderness praying, when he returned, the Bible says in verse 17, the power of the Lord was present to heal the people. And in verse 18, they carried a sick man to Jesus, a man with the palsy, and he healed him and made him whole. And the Bible says they were all amazed and they glorified God. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus was praying and his disciples found him and told him that everyone was looking for him. And Jesus said, let's go into the towns and in the villages and let's preach the gospel. That's why I came. The Bible says in verse 39, Jesus preached in every synagogue in Galilee. In verse 40, a leper came to Jesus for healing, and Jesus had compassion on him and touched him and healed him. Every time Jesus got alone with God in prayer, after he was done, something great, something mighty, something wonderful happened. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and then he went up into a mountain apart to pray. In the meantime, his disciples got caught in the middle of the sea in a storm, and just about the time they got to wondering, hey, where is the Lord when you need him? Where is Jesus when you need him? Here comes Jesus walking on the water. And when they saw him, the Bible says they were afraid. They'd never seen anybody do that before. Nobody had ever done that before. The Bible says when Jesus came into the ship, the wind ceased, and his disciples worshipped him and said, Thou art the Son of God. When they got to the other side, the Bible says the people of that country brought to Jesus all that were diseased, and it says, as many as touched the hem of his garment were made perfectly whole. Good things, great and mighty things happened as a result of the fervent, effectual prayer life of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 9, the Bible says Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into a mountain to pray, and as he prayed, he was transfigured before them. The Bible says his countenance was changed and his raiment was white and glistering. When they came back to find the other disciples, the Bible says that he found his disciples surrounded by a multitude of people. While Peter, James, and John and Jesus were up on the mountain praying, a man had brought to his disciples his demon-possessed son. And he was looking for somebody to help his son who was being tormented by this demon. And he came to Jesus' disciples and he said, "Can you help my son?" And they said, "No, we can't." They tried, but they couldn't. They could not cast the devil out of this man's son, the Bible says. And then Jesus came back and he said, "Bring me the boy." When they brought the child to Jesus, he rebuked the devil and commanded the evil spirit to come out of him, and the demon came out. The Bible says that they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. Later on, the disciples asked Jesus, why weren't they able to cast out the devil? Why weren't they able to help that child? And Jesus told them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Jesus knew how powerful prayer was. Jesus knew how powerful it was to get alone with God and spend time alone with Him in prayer. Now, if you study the Bible at all, you'll find that there is a close connection between prayer and fasting. Jesus wasn't on a diet when He fasted for 40 days and nights in the wilderness. He wasn't trying to lose a couple extra pounds. He was fellowshipping and communing with the Father in prayer. That's what Jesus was doing those 40 days and 40 nights. Many times in the Bible, when a person or even a nation sought God and sought His divine intervention, they would fast and pray until they heard from Him. In Ezra chapter 8, the Bible says, Ezra and the people fasted and besought the Lord, and God heard and answered their prayers. In Nehemiah chapter 1, the Bible says Nehemiah fasted and prayed before God, and God heard and answered his prayer. In Daniel chapter 9, the Bible says Daniel set his face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications and fasting, and God heard Daniel's prayer and sent the angel Gabriel to him. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 10, a man who was named Cornelius was fasting and praying in his house, and God appeared to him, and God told him to go to Joppa and find Peter, and Cornelius and his whole family ended up getting saved as a result of that fasting and prayer. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, as Saul and Barnabas ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Praying and fasting go hand in hand. Each one complements the other. Where you find prayer in the Bible, you almost always find fasting. Jesus fasted and prayed. His disciples fasted and prayed. Christians in the early church fasted and prayed. Why don't we fast and pray? If we want victory over sin in our lives, we need to fast and pray. If we desire power over the enemy, we need to fast and pray. If we want the Lord to work mightily in our homes and families, we need to fast and pray. If we want the Holy Spirit to fill us and use us, we need to fast and pray. If we want God to bless us with His awesome presence in this congregation, we need to fast and pray. If we want to see souls saved and lives changed here in this town, we need to fast and pray. If we have lost relatives and lost friends and lost family members who need to be saved, we need to fast and pray. We need to get alone with God in the prayer closet if we desire to see God's mighty power at work in our lives. I'm talking about knowing the will of God. I'm talking about having the peace of God in our hearts. I'm talking about seeing God answer prayer and work miracles in our lives. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The devil is real, and he is busy at work in this town, doing what he does best, darkening minds, deceiving hearts, destroying lives, and damning souls. I think of the father in Luke chapter 9 who brought his demon-tormented son to Christ's disciples for help. And even though the disciples wanted to help that child, they wanted to make a difference in that person's life, that boy's life. They saw that demon tearing apart that little boy, ripping his body and bruising his body. But they could not cast that devil out. All they could do was watch helplessly as the devil battered and bruised that little boy. Finally, when Jesus came, they had to hang their heads in shame as they heard the boy's father tell Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, I besought your disciples to cast the devil out of my son, but they could not." And Jesus said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you?" Jesus cast out the devil, and after Jesus had cast the devil out of the child and healed him, he took that little boy by the hand and he delivered him to his father, and everyone was amazed at the mighty power of God. Later on, his disciples said, "Lord, why couldn't we cast the devil out of that child? Why couldn't we help that poor little boy?" Jesus said that kind of power only comes through prayer and fasting. Jesus told his disciples, if you want that kind of power in your life, you need to get alone with God. You need to go find yourself a mountain somewhere, and you need to just spend some time alone with God in prayer and fasting. We want to be able to help people in this community, people who are in bondage to sin, people who are having their lives destroyed and wrecked and ruined by Satan. We need to get alone with God in the prayer closet. We need to get alone with God in prayer. We need to be fasting. We need to be praying. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jesus lived a life of purity and power through prayer. What kind of prayer life do you and I have? I want to encourage you this week, this month, this year, to spend more time alone with God in prayer. Get in your prayer closet. Get alone with God. Spend some time alone with Him, just you and God, nobody else. Let's pray to you. Lord, bless your word, God, your truth. What's said has been said, and Lord, I don't apologize, Lord, for what's been said. Jesus was a man of prayer. And every time Jesus got alone and prayed, spent time alone with you, some things, some great things, some mighty things, some awesome things happened as a result. Lord, help us to realize, help us to see that was no coincidence. There's power in prayer. If we desire your mighty power, we desire to see you move in our congregation, here, in our midst here, in this town, in this community, we need to get alone, spend some time with you in prayer. Pray that, Lord, you'd help us to be men and women of prayer. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.